That's how it was.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not every day. And this is the thing that's funny about writing a record like this. There are a few extremely pleasant childhood memories that you remember, but the daily pleasantness of being a child, even in a hard house to grow up in, is not what you remember if there are these flash moments. And that's why in the line I say that there's indications that something's wrong. We moved in, and my sister and I loved my stepfather. He was fun. He's the fun dad. And Watergate was on all day in those days. You know, it was just high volume all the time. And I'll never forget this gray glass. It was an NFL glass, I think, flying across the room. It was full of milk and breaking on the wall. And it was like the sudden intrusion of violence. And it's like, I'm going upstairs to listen to my little NASA 7-inch. It was a recording of the moon launch.
You come back to this image in other songs. In one of the darkest songs on the whole recording, you talk about being afraid that they were going to break your stereo.
Yeah. When I was 14, I was living and dying with the records I was listening to. I mean, it was my whole existence for 13 and 14. I was an awkward 13-year-old. And yeah, when my stepfather would get out of sorts and come in, it's like, I didn't much care what you break. The typewriter is kind of invincible, and so I wasn't too worried about that. But the stereo was fragile, and I had no way of buying another, so it would be my first fear.
Peter Hughes, John Vanderslice, you've worked with John Darnielle for a number of years. What about singing about these kinds of things? How's this for you?
Peter, you want to take this first?
You want me to jump in? Peter, start.
Well, I felt a little bit of concern for him because I was, you know, in the same hotel room. I'd come out of the shower, and he would be sitting on the floor in tears. And whether or not we share the precise experiences or not, I mean, there's a lot of this that is very universal, I think. And
what were you going to say, John?
Well, for me, when I first started getting the demos from John and Peter, I was very excited to bring this stuff into the studio, but I knew that it would be difficult for John to do that. I mean, he's totally opened himself out, so...
You end the recording with two very sweet, sort of tender songs. One is called Love, 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 and the other is called Pale Green Things. They both seem to me to sort of come in a circle.
Yeah.
About how children love their parents even when they have awful parents.
Of course, yeah. I mean, of course you do. I love my stepfather. You know, abusive people are not monsters. They're people who have problems, terrible problems, and so I wanted to bring it around to that.
In Love, 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 you bring up Raskolnikov and then Kurt Cobain. You want to explain it all to me?
Questions That I Fear, Chapter 1. the point of the song is that we are fairly well damaged by the legacy of the Romantic poets, that we think of love as this, you know, thing that is accompanied by strings, and it's a force for good, and if something bad happens, then that's not love. And the therapeutic tradition that I come from, I used to work in therapy, also says, you know, it's not love if it feels bad. I don't know so much about that. I don't know that the Greeks weren't right. I think they were, that love can eat a path through everything, that it will destroy a lot of things on the way to its own objective, which is just its expression of itself. You know, I mean, my stepfather loved his family, right? Now, he mistreated us terribly quite often, but he loved us. And, you know, well, that to me is something worth commenting on in the hopes of undoing a lot of what I perceive as terrible damage, and the way people talk about this love as this benign, comfortable force. It's not that. It's wild, you know.